This is Rusty Gaffney, the Prince of Pinot, and this is Pinophile Live. The Pinophile is the first wine newsletter exclusively devoted to Pinot Noir and Pinophiles. Today's feature is Volume 6, Issue 49, dated December 26, 2007, titled Pinot Noir All-Americans 2007. Now, I'm quite a football fan, and there isn't many football games I don't watch on TV. And I thought each year it would be interesting to choose an All-American team of Pinot Noirs. Pinot Noirs that originate in North America, primarily Oregon and California. This year I chose a first team, a second team, and 26 honorable mention Pinot Noirs. And basically, these are the best wines that I have drunk over the past year, irregardless of vintage, price, region, label, and so forth. Most of the wines are recent releases, and most of them are still available for purchase. Now, choosing an All-American team of Pinot Noirs is a challenge, because the quality of Pinot Noir originating in California and Oregon today is superb. It's a testimony to the cadre of passionate wine growers who have scoffed at the suggestion that Pinot Noir is a heartbreak grape and have successfully corralled the grape's temperamental nature. The 2007 All-Americans were chosen in the spirit of celebration of the great bounty of Pinot Noir that we enjoy in this country. These particular American Pinot Noirs were selected by me as much for their fruity, flirty, New World hedonism as their description-defined sensuality. And that's really the thing about great wines, is that great wines create emotion. They defy description. They give you a feeling. And I think Veronique Drouin, the winemaker at Oregon's Domaine Drouin, summarized my sentiments completely when she said, "There are lots of good wines in the world that give you pleasure, but a great wine gives you emotion." The All-Americans do not represent any particular style of Pinot Noir. The ongoing controversy or competition between the so-called New World style against the Old World style is becoming a little bit of a tired argument. Most Pinophiles who appreciate and enjoy Pinot Noir can enjoy both styles and relish in the diversity. The New World, or what we call New World style, of course, is one in which, because of the growing conditions in California and Oregon, the wines have more upfront fruitiness, extraction, and higher alcohol. And the resultant Pinot Noirs have often taken on numerous monikers, such as Big Babe Pinots, Jelly Jar Blockbusters, Pinots on steroids, and Caliesque. They've often been likened more to Pamela Anderson than Katharine Hepburn. The Old World wines, on the other hand, tend to be lighter, less fruity, higher in acid, and lower in alcohol, and often are better at the table with food. They appear more like see-through red lingerie than Jimi Hendrix purple. Many Pinot Noirs, and many of those which I have chosen as All-Americans this year, strike a balance between the two extremes. I should clarify the steps I take to arrive at the wines I recommend, both in the Pinophile during the year and those that make the All-American list at year's end. I taste Pinot Noir daily in a quiet home setting. The wines are sampled at cellar temperature and are usually tasted over a few hours, always without food and often with food, in a relaxed atmosphere so as to replicate the consumer's drinking experience. I do not taste, for the most part, blind, but I do strive for integrity, consistency, and objectivity. The aim of judgment, the French wine critic Michael Bataille says, is truth and impartiality. I have no monetary attachment with any winery, retailer, or wholesaler, and I accept no advertising. I do accept some samples for review, but over 85% of the wines I sample are purchased directly by me from the winery or through retail channels. There are a number of Pinot Noirs that I sample that for one reason or another do not appeal to me, and I feel I cannot recommend them. These wines are not featured in the Pinophile because I really see no purpose in doing negative reviews. This is born out of respect for the hard work involved in the making of wine, and it honors the reality that we all have different tastes. Of the more than 2,000 Pinot Noirs that I sampled over the last year, there were a significant number that had interesting stories to tell, but I could not recommend them, and thus they were not included in the Pinophile. I do not award scores to wines, preferring to give an unpretentious and concise description of the style and spirit of the wine that the reader can appreciate. Wineries prefer scores, in actual fact, because they can use them for marketing purposes. But from the feedback I receive from my readers, I'm convinced that most of them value an apropos description even more than a score. Honestly, I don't try to take the reviews or myself too seriously. I preach to the reader to use my tasting notes as a guide, but above all else, trust his or her own palate, his or her patrimony. Beyond the emotional highlights of a wine, which weigh heavily on their enjoyment, there are certain technical aspects of a wine that must be addressed to arrive at the judgment of quality. A quality wine is spoken reverently as a complete wine. In a complete wine, all of the parts go together harmoniously, and a complete range of elements make up the whole. This is an accolade that only goes to wines with all of the following attributes. First of all, smell. A complete wine will have more than one family of aromas, such as fruity aromas, floral aromas, spicy aromas, and so forth. The olfactory or smell system enables the brain to perceive not only odors inhaled through the nostrils, but also the aromatic qualities of a wine conveyed to it from the palate by way of the nasal passage at the back of the mouth. And there are basically three types of aromas. Primary aromas are odors intrinsic to the grape. Secondary aromas are derived from alcoholic fermentation and maturing in wood. And tertiary aromas, which are also known as bottle bouquet, develop from aging after alcoholic and malolactic fermentation are complete. Taste. A complete wine will have more than one family of flavors, and all of the flavors are in harmony. Tastes are sensed on the tongue, and each flavor remains evident for a length of time that determines persistence. Texture. Texture is often referred to as mouthfeel or roundness. Basically, it's the tactile sense of the wine in the mouth, on the tongue, and in the throat. It's the fabric of the wine. Quality wines are often described as smooth, velvety, well-knit, glossy, or polished, while lesser wines seem flabby, loose-knit, granular, or coarse. Silky textures are very unique to Pinot Noir and give Pinot Noir much of its sexiness. Finish. Finish refers to the final sensations of wine on the palate. A complete wine will have both a long aromatic finish lasting several seconds and an appealing taste at the end. balance. Balance is a term that's used synonymously with harmony and refers to the relative levels of acidity, alcohol, tannins, and roundness that are felt in the mouth. Aromas have nothing to do with balance. A well-balanced wine has all of these elements, acidity, alcohol, tannins, and roundness, in equal amounts with no elements sticking out. A complete wine has impeccable balance. If a wine is not balanced after its release, it will never become balanced, no matter how long the wine is aged. Aftertaste. This term is often used synonymously with finish. For clarity's sake, aftertaste refers to the flavor and olfactory or aromatic impressions that remain after the wine is swallowed or spit out. A quality wine is described as having length when the clean, balanced, and full flavors of the finish linger in the aftertaste. Flaws in wine may be perceived in the aftertaste that otherwise might have been overlooked. The most common complaint is a bitter or astringent aftertaste, heightened by the fact that bitterness is sensed mainly at the back of the tongue and also has the longest flavor persistence. Aftertaste is the final indicator of a wine's overall quality, confirming not only if it is balanced and complete, but also whether it raises such adjectives as elegance, breeding, and finesse. I consider the all-American wines, particularly the first string, to be complete or nearly complete wines. These wines have been reviewed with appropriate tasting notes in many past issues of the Pinophile. Descriptors, in most cases, do not do these wines justice. It is often what is not written, but that which is emoted, that truly defines a wine's greatness. I hope that I have at least conveyed that certain sensuality that great Pinot Noir possesses, so easy to covet, but so difficult to describe. One comment about prices. Well, good Pinot Noir is expensive. Really, life begins at about $40. Collecting and drinking Pinot Noir has become a rich man's game, and trophy wines, also known as deep pocket Pinots, now often sell in the $80 to $100 range. Fortunately, there are a number of perfectly fine Pinot Noirs on the market that retail for less than $28, and the increasing number of these so-called value Pinot Noirs makes Pinot Noir more available now than ever. I calculated the average price for the 11 wines composing the first string All-Americans, and the average came to $48. Sure, this is plenty of money for a bottle of wine, but when you think what wines are now commanding, for example, the best Cabernet Sauvignons from California, $48 is pretty good price for the top quality Pinot Noirs made in this country. Many of the All-American Pinot Noirs are sold out at the winery or only sold through a mailing list. But many of them are still available on the secondary and auction market. There are a number of useful search engines for finding the Pinot Noir that you seek. The ones I use most often are winezap.com, winesearcher.com, WineAccess.com, and VinQuery.com. The main thing to keep in mind is that there always will be another vintage, and that top producers consistently make quality wine in most every vintage. It will not be the same song, but it'll be the same composer. Now, the All-American Awards in the Pinophile are unique in that the list includes trophy and cult Pinot Noirs that often are not tasted by tasting panels of major wine publications, because many of these producers don't make a lot of wine and they just don't submit their wines for judging. These awards encompass every single Pinot Noir produced in California and Oregon. That's not to say that I tasted every one made, but it is to say that all of the wines that I could possibly get my hands on are included in this All-American judging. For the wines that didn't make the All-American list, the words of Mark Twain ring true. It is better to deserve honors and not have them than to have them and not deserve them. So let's look at the All-Americans. Let's look at the first team to start with. We'll go through them alphabetically. The first two actually are from Calera Wine Company in Mount Hollister, what is called the Mount Harlan appellation. This is in Central California. Of course, most of you Pinophiles know the story of Josh Jensen, Mr. Pinot, who sought a location in California that had limestone, figuring that this was the key to great Pinot Noir. He has struggled in this godforsaken site, but he has proven himself to be a superb winemaker, and he has proven his ideas that great Pinot Noir does come from sites that are special, and particularly ones that contain limestone. Josh Jensen was named Winemaker of the Year this year by the San Francisco Chronicle. And I have chosen two, and I probably could have included several others because I drank a number of them this year, and none of them were bad, let me tell you. I chose the 2002 Calera Mills and the 2003 Calera Jensen. These stood out for me. The other vineyards at Calera are Selleck, Reed, and most recently, Ryan. These wines are made in fairly good quantities and are fairly available on the retail market. The third wine is the Drew Family Fog Eater Anderson Valley Pinot Noir. Love the name Fog Eater. These grapes came from vineyards in the Anderson Valley that are blessed by frequent intrusions of fog. We all know that fog makes great Pinot Noir, and there are many explanations for this. It has to do with coolness, nighttime coolness leading to acidity, and so forth. But we won't go into all that right now. Drew Family Winery started out in Santa Rita Hills, and Jason and Molly Drew still make a number of wines from the Santa Rita Hills, but they're now located in Elk, which is in the hills west of the Anderson Valley in Mendocino County. Drew Family's first wine was in 2001, so they're a relatively new producer. And this wine only sells for $35, and you just won't find a better wine for that price. The fourth wine is the George Vintage 3 2005 Nuptial Vineyard Russian River Valley Pinot Noir. Now, George Levkoff is quite a character. He started out in the stock market in New York. He had his epiphany with William Salem Pinot Noir, ended up moving to California, working at William Salem, and his method of making wine is identical to that of Burt Williams of William Salem prior to 1997 when it was sold. George is a one-man show. He does everything himself from start to finish. And his wines show a lot of loving care. One of my favorite producers. The fifth All-American is Harmonique Delicacé Anderson Valley Pinot Noir. Harmonique produces two Pinot Noirs, Delicacé. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's D-E-L-I-C-A-C-E. And their other bottling is the Noble One. This is a collaboration between owner Bruce Konzelman and winemaker Robert Clint, who also makes wine under his own Claudia Springs label. And the Harmonique wines have won a number of awards and are superb. The next two wines are both made by Literai. One comes from Terrot Vineyard in the Sonoma Coast, and the other from Savoy Vineyard in the Anderson Valley. For those that read the Pinophile, you know that Literai is a label by Ted Lemon, a very, very accomplished and talented winemaker. I've been a fan of his wines for a number of years. The wines age very well. He sources grapes from a number of top vineyard sources in the coastal regions of California. Besides these two vineyards, there's also a Hirsch vineyard and vineyards in the western Russian River Valley as well. Top rate just doesn't get any better than Literai. The next two wines are both from Privet, a very tiny producer in Yamhill County of the Willamette Valley in Oregon. Mark and Tina Hammond farm 2 acres of Pinot Noir and produce two wines, Le Sud, which is the southern part of the vineyard, which lies to the south of actually their residence, and Le Nord, which is the more northern part of the vineyard, which lies to the north of their house. They have a tiny French-styled winery, not much bigger than most people's single-car garage. They don't make very much wine, 85 cases of Le Sud and 165 cases of Le Nord. And the wine is sold to faithful mailing list customers only. The 10th wine is Radio Coteau, Helenthal Vineyard, Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir. This very small boutique producer is owned by Eric Sussman, who is also the winemaker, and makes very small quantities of several Sonoma Coast Pinot Noirs. The Helenthal Vineyard is a well-established vineyard in the Sonoma Coast and is a superb source of Pinot Noir grapes. They actually provided grapes to another favorite of mine, a second-team All-American, the 2005 Westmar Helenthal Vineyard. And actually, in the Pinot file, there's a misprint. It says Russian River Valley. It should say Sonoma Coast. Well, let's go to the second team, All-Americans. These wines are very, very good, too, and very hard to distinguish from the first team. The first one is a newer label, actually the first release, the 2005 Alta Maria Bien Nacido Vineyard, Santa Maria Valley Pinot Noir. Bien Nacido, of course, is a large vineyard in Santa Maria Valley, which is superbly farmed and is the source of grapes for many, many great Pinot Noirs in California. The Alta Maria is a very small producer sold through a mailing list, and at $35 is quite a bargain. The second wine is the 2005 Annam Cara Cellars, Nicholas Estate, Chehalem Mountains, Willamette Valley Pinot Noir. This is a new producer who I ran across at the International Pinot Noir Celebration this year and was floored by this wine. I've since tasted the two other releases from this winery, the Reserve and a special block bottling of Clone 114, and they're all superb. Reasonably priced, $30, highly recommended producer. The third is a repeat producer that has shown up in my All-Americans almost every year, and that's Brogan Cellars, Summa Vineyard, Sonoma Coast, Young Vines. Brogan Cellars is an offspring of William Salem. The owner and winemaker, Margie Weiniger, is this daughter of Burt Williams. The Summa Vineyard is a superb source for Pinot Noir, dates back many years to some superb bottlings from Burt Williams under the Williams-Salem label. Ted Lemon at Literai also sources grapes from Summa Vineyard. The fourth wine is a brand new producer. Well, I say brand new. He's had three vintages, maybe four vintages now. And this is Afi, that's capital E, small T, capital F, I-L-L-E. And this wine came from the Seven Springs Vineyard in the Eola Amity Hills appellation of the Willamette Valley. And Et Fee is no longer going to be making the Seven Springs because, as many of you know, this winery was sold to a California group this year, and those who were accessing Seven Springs grapes no longer will have access to them. But Et Fee still has, I think, a few cases of this wine available. Highly recommended. The next wine comes from Gypsy Canyon Winery in the Santa Rita Hills. This is the 2005 Lot 2 Santa Rita Creek Vineyard. At $75, it's one of the most expensive wines, but this reflects the fact that the wine is produced in extremely small quantities. The presentation of the wine is highly unusual. The bottles are hand-blown and reflect historical bottles of wine in California. They're special wax seals. The paper labels are handmade and applied. Each bottle is signed. Just a gorgeous presentation, a very elegantly styled, interesting Pinot Noir. The next wine comes from Linmar in the Russian River Valley. This is the Five Sisters bottling, which is basically named after the offspring or children of the owner, and is a reserve. The best barrels go into this particular bottling. All of the Linmar Russian River Valley Pinot Noirs, the Quail Hill Estate, the Russian River, and now some single vineyard bottlings are outstanding. Hugh Chappelle is the winemaker. And this particular wine is the Creme de la Creme. The next wine is the 2004 Paul Lotto Duende Gold Coast Santa Maria Valley Pinot Noir. Paul makes extremely small quantities of Pinot Noir. He's a fanatic when it comes to quality. If his wine, any of his barrels of wine don't meet the strictest criteria, he sells them off. He won't bottle them under his name. Very small quantities, worth seeking out. The next producer is Pay Marin, Troy Fillet, Marin County Pinot Noir. Troy Fillet refers to the three daughters of the Pays who own this label. Jonathan Pay is the winemaker and wine grower. And I've been a fan of these wines ever since the first year, which I believe was 01 or 02. And I think this is the best one he's ever made. It's got superb balance, and I love it. The next wine is from Roessler, Savoy Vineyard, Anderson Valley Pinot Noir. The Roessler label is a very dependable label. He sources grapes from all over California. The wines are consistently good year in, year out, and I thought this bottling from Savoy Vineyard was exceptional. The next wine is the 2005 Saintsbury Brown Ranch Vineyard Carneros Pinot Noir. Saintsbury, of course, is an old-timer in Carneros, one of the original producers, and Brown Ranch is their own estate vineyard, which has consistently produced the best wines from Saintsbury, and this one is no exception. And finally, the Westmar Helenthal Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir, which I mentioned earlier. Westmar is a small producer located in the apple processing plant in Sebastopol, where many other wineries make their wine. Denise Salem, she's now married, but she is the daughter of Ed Salem, of William Salem, and she has carried her experience from William Salem, and year in and year out makes extremely attractive, aromatic, and tasteful Pinot Noirs. So that's it. That's the first and second team All-Americans. If you go to the Pinophile, you'll find the listing of the honorable mention. You'll find a listing of the best American value Pinot Noirs. And there are a lot of good Pinot Noirs priced in the $13 to $26 range. And these can be your daily drinkers. I think with that, we'll sign off for today. We've covered a lot of ground, and I hope you find this interesting. I hope you're able to seek out and obtain a few of these bottles. And this issue has only come out a couple days ago, and I've already had emails from readers who obtained some of these wines and were really struck by them. So it's always nice for me to get feedback like that, and it makes me pleased that wines I recommend are considered worthy by other pinophiles. So that's it for today. Just remember, if you drink Pinot Noir, you Pinot Noir.